The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Joined by Fiona O'Malley, the Chief Executive of Turn to Me, a national mental health charity. Fiona, today you've published a list of 8 toxic workplace behaviours. Why? Why have you done that?
These are the toxic workplace behaviours that damage someone's mental health. And I suppose raising awareness of these toxic workplace behaviours, we hope that we can tackle them and reduce them so that people across the country can, have improved mental health and that management might be aware of these toxic workplace behaviours and they might be able to take action to reduce those as well.
Now, you've named 8 of them and I want to go through some of them which are very interesting, starting with micromanagement. What do you mean by that and why can that affect somebody's mental health?
So this is when managers excessively control or monitor every aspect of their employees' work and it stifles creativity and initiative. And employees under constant scrutiny can feel undervalued, which can lead to stress and reduced job satisfaction and eventually burnout. And when you empower employees with trust and autonomy, that's crucial for a healthy work environment.
And can it be made worse if the micromanager actually doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose when someone's trying to lead any type of project and they themselves aren't particularly skilled or competent in the area, that can lead to poor communication and it can be very, very difficult for the person who, is the subordinate in that team.
Now, what about what you term unreasonable workloads or KPIs? KPI being...
Key performance indicators. This is a toxic practice and it can lead to chronic stress and burnout. And when the demand for productivity exceeds the capacity of the workforce, it not only diminishes the quality of work, but it also places immense pressure on employees. And Turn to Me is advising employers to set realistic expectations and to provide adequate support to maintain a healthy work-life balance.
When you look at things like unreasonable workloads or KPIs or also micromanagement, how much of that might come down to poor communication?
A lot of it can come down to poor communication. Inadequate or unclear communication from leadership can create confusion, frustration and anxiety among employees. And when expectations, goals or feedback aren't adequately or effectively communicated, employees can feel lost or unsupported in their roles. It's really important to have open, transparent and consistent communication for maintaining a healthy workplace dynamic.
And then you also have on the list lack of support. What do you mean by that?
So this is when employees aren't given adequate resources, support or care to do their jobs effectively. They can feel overwhelmed by this and this links back to the previous point we discussed there of unrealistic KPIs where an employee is expected to deliver high targets without adequate resources. I suppose you're kind of setting someone up to fail when you have unrealistic KPIs or a lack of support.
And then what sort of double standards can also feature on this list?
So employees who see double standards at play in the workplace can feel very frustrated. So for example, if a senior director works from home 5 days a week and has flexi time, but they insist that the junior members on their team work 5 days a week in the office and they never accommodate anyone's request for flexi time, this will obviously irritate employees and make them feel less valued than the senior director. So when you have double standards, it can be very, very demotivating for people and it's just something that we would encourage companies, employers to be aware of and to try to stamp out any double standards in the workplace.
Yeah, other things you have on the list include bullying, also known as harassment, or lack of recognition. When things go right, the praise is given. When things go wrong, it's your fault. And incivility is another one that you actually have on the list as well. Mm-hmm. But what about those particularly who will work in management who would claim that anybody who complains of these things has been a bit of a snowflake? You know, this is, the world is a tough place. Standards have to be maintained. Results have to be delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic point. But I suppose these 8 toxic workplace behaviours are a list of things that once they're tackled, you will get more out of the team, you're getting more out of your employees. And when they feel like they're valued and they're respected and they're not undermined in the workplace, they will deliver better. So the performance will be better, which means the whole team will be more productive, which means that the return on interest will be higher as well. So it benefits everyone to try to be aware of these 8 toxic workplace behaviours and to try to reduce them.
Now, you mentioned that there are some common strategies for dealing with a toxic workplace. There are 4 in particular: ignore, adapt, improve things, or leave. Is it possible to ignore, particularly if you have the micromanager on your back?
I mean, some people can adapt to it and some people can, I suppose, learn to live with it and to work with it. But I suppose it isn't very productive for anyone, and it can, if it leads to burnout and unnecessary stress, that also can lead to people, you know, being at flight risk or leaving, and that can also create problems if, you know, there's a high turnover of staff. It can cost the organisation more to train them up and to replace them. So one of the things that we would encourage employers to do would be to send out an anonymous survey, because oftentimes people, when they have these difficulties, they can't feel like they can communicate it. If you're working on a team and your boss is micromanaging you, that can be very difficult to communicate. But if you have an anonymous survey sent out to all employees, they can give these kind of, feedback tips that senior management can take into account and try to improve the workplace for everyone who's working there.
Okay, we're getting a lot of listener comments coming in, and I had a micromanager. I left, it was so toxic, it got worse and worse and was very, very stressful. Another one says, I'm sitting here laughing and ticking off every single one, but it's not funny. It was the MD of the company who did it to us. We couldn't do a single thing about it. You can't complain to the boss about himself. I wonder how many people do have that problem, and that even groups of people might have it, but they're afraid to actually to try and raise it.
It can be very, very difficult, and that's really why it can be, you know, an important initiative in any type of strategy and any type of reflection of any company to have this type of anonymous survey sent out to all employees. But some people might struggle, I suppose, communicating this back to their employers when they talk about the difficulties that they're having. A lot of people kind of feel they might want to bite the hand that feeds them. But one of the things that we would encourage people to do would be to learn how to manage up effectively. So when you manage up, you can say, these are all the things that I really like about the role, and these are the areas I think that could be improved. Or one of the things, particularly, for example, with poor communication, it can be difficult to communicate that to the person who is communicating poorly. But one of the things that I would recommend people to do would be to circle back and to say, just so I'm clear, are these the things that you want me to do? And is this the priority and the order you want me to do them in? And then sometimes people who might give unrealistic KPIs or an unreasonable workload, sometimes it can be, again, good to communicate back to the manager, is this what you want me to prioritise? And I really don't think that this is going to deliver these targets with the budget or the resources that we have, but maybe just to manage expectations from the outset. And then, of course, it's important to remember that in Ireland we do have good employment law, and employees are protected by that in Ireland. So there's a breadth of case law from the WRC and the Labour Courts that outline all of the rights that employees have in Ireland. So if you think that, you know, it's constant, okay, and it's toxic and it's not ever going to release, maybe people might want to consider the rights they have from an employment law perspective as well.
Fiona O'Malley, Chief Executive of Turn to Me, thank you very much for joining us. Here's a listener who says, Matt, I'm 51 years of age. I work in retail. I take my job very seriously. Great pride in my work, and I'm dealing with a young staff that couldn't give a shite. I'm sick of it.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.